We'd love to welcome you all to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is specifically focused on how to publish climate-focused op-eds. We're going to be joined by the wonderful Charlotte Ward, and a little bit more about Charlotte before I pass it to her. Charlotte is CCL State and Local Media Coordinator, and as that role, Charlotte provides volunteers with support and training for local media outreach throughout the United States. Charlotte was born in England, where she graduated with a BA in journalism from Tisiti University. She is a former Daily Mirror commissioning editor and has written for publications in the US, the UK, and Australia. Before joining the CCL team full-time, Charlotte volunteered for Citizens Climate for 5 years and founded the Greenville, South Carolina chapter. She enjoys spending time exploring the mountains and coasts of the Carolinas with her husband and two children, as well as reading and gardening. If we've done our jobs well, we'll cover the following three learning goals tonight: understanding the writing process and learning tips for drafting your own climate change focused op-ed, discovering how to submit your op-ed, that whole process behind the submission, as well as how to share it when it is published online and with your chapter to really amplify its impact. And we'll also make sure to see some examples and different approaches of what effective op-eds look like. So with that though, we are in for a real treat. I'll get out of the way and pass it to you, Charlotte, and let's have a wonderful presentation, everyone. How about that?
Thanks so much, Brett. Thank you everyone for coming. It's really good to see you here tonight. I hope this will be really useful to you. So our agenda tonight is we're going to first of all cover why write an op-ed, then how to plan your op-ed. We'll go into the writing process. We'll talk about some ideas and examples, and we'll then have a Q&A so I can cover any questions that you may have. So we can start with why write an op-ed. So op-eds have impact. An opinion column, or an op-ed as we call it, grabs the attention of your member of Congress and their staff. When you're getting your message out there in the newspaper and you name check your member of Congress, then they're going to pay attention. It's a chance to educate a wider audience about climate change and the solutions. And people across the political spectrum can be influenced by op-eds. And just to show you a really good example of some great influence that we had with the CCL op-ed, the little picture there is of Sheldon Whitehouse tweeting about climate solutions. And he actually, the op-ed that he is tweeting there is a Mark Reynolds CCL op-ed. So that just goes to show you like the influence you can have. And this has happened, I believe this happened to Paula too at one point. So we've had some good successes with op-eds getting really kind of high profile tweets and a lot of leverage. So planning your op-ed, what are your options? So we have a variety of options that we can give you and that you can kind of use to write your own op-ed. We have an op-ed resources page, which I believe Brett is going to drop in the chat for you. But that page on CCL Community has like various options. So something new that some of you may have seen is that we've actually started providing outlines for op-eds. So rather than just writing it and then having you put like details in, we wanted to give people the opportunity to, with some guidance, write their own op-eds. And the reason we're doing this is I have been sort of monitoring all the op-eds that we've had printed in recent months, and volunteers are doing their own thing. They don't necessarily need our templates. I've seen that they're just like creating their own op-eds from scratch. That's so cool that people are making the time to do that. So we just wanted to really help with that. So we've come up with some outlines for you guys so that you can just click on those, see the way that you can write it. And I will show you that in 1 second. And then we also have customized op-ed templates where you can add local angles. So if you don't have a lot of time, you can take one of these op-ed templates and just like add in some details about your state, some local information, and then send it off. Or you could write something completely new and unique. And tonight I'm going to hopefully give you some helpful tips on how you can do that. So I'm just going to talk you through this. If you're looking for resources, you can go to the media page on Community, click on that one there, the op-ed templates, This is the page. You can go down. It has some instructions. Then you'll see there's different things. So there's a climate grief outline. There's climate disaster outline. So we're clicking on that there. You can see it downloads. So this is basically how you can just follow this to create your own op-ed about a climate-related disaster. You can see there, you can add a headline, tells you like the different steps you can do. So start with a compelling point, kind of go down, summarize why you need the solutions. There's lots of good links there for background. And then all the way through, there's the different steps for you. So you can use that at any point to kind of craft your own op-ed. And then this is one of those templates I was talking about that's less work. This one is already written. This is one we have right now. We change them periodically. So when you go back at any time, there might be something different. But this is the one right now. Reducing household energy costs is good for our pockets and the planet. And you can see there, you can have a joint byline with Madeline, our executive director. You can add in your state. You can add in details about what's happening with climate change in your state. There's lots of stuff already written in there. And as you go down, you can add in the names of your members of Congress. And then at the end, you can add in your name and your chapter. So that should only take like probably 15 minutes. So if you're really time strapped, that's a great one to do. And then there's just one last thing that I wanted to show you on this page. As you scroll down, there's a headshot of Madeline. So when you send your op-ed, send in a picture of yourself. And if you do a joint one with Madeline, then this is her picture right there for you. So you can send that into your newspaper. So what to think about when you're crafting your own op-ed. So what you want to think about is what timely topics you have seen in the news that relate to climate change. What do you think should be in the news? Like, what is your paper not reporting? Like, what are you noticing about climate change in your area that you really think is important for them to see and for readers to learn about? And why are you passionate about climate change action? When you're writing stuff, if you're writing it from the heart, it just makes a massive difference. So like, tap into those feelings that motivate you as a volunteer and get them down on paper. And how does climate change affect your life and the lives of local people? Like, what do you know about how it affects local farmers and local industries? How is flooding affecting your town? Like, think about all those things. And then what local perspectives could be persuasive to your member of Congress? So you want to think about them as your audience, as well as the general reader of the newspaper. You want to think about the points that your member of Congress cares about. Like, how can you link climate change to their values? Like, what are the things that they talk about, and how can you show them that it affects the economy or it affects another topic that they talk about a lot? So next, the writing process. So when you're structuring your op-ed, the main thing is really to stay focused, because you're going to have so many things in your brain. But try to choose one thing and then perhaps like save another topic for a bit later, because you want to be quite focused on the point you're trying to make. You want to introduce your point with a compelling opening paragraph about something timely, interesting, and newsworthy. You can identify the problem, say how it can be solved and who needs to solve it, and then make a call to action. And if you cite statistics, use them sparingly and with a clear purpose. There's so many things out there, but just try to think about like maybe one or two that like really make the point. And then you can sign off at the end with a thoughtful and urgent point. So how do you be compelling right from the start? So you can grab the reader's attention with an opening paragraph that makes them want to read more. So when I was thinking about this, we've had that really horrifying story in Denver recently about the Marshall Fire. So you can imagine that a volunteer who lived near there and had first person experience might write something like this. They're telling us we have to get out now. We're heading over to your place. That was the call I got from my mother last week as flames from the Marshall Fire raced towards their home in Rock Creek. So you can imagine if you like read that in the paper, that would make you want to read on, because that's a really compelling start of a story. And you want to know like, oh, what happened? Like, what happened next? Like, did they have friends who were impacted? Like, how are things seeming now? So you'd want to read on from that. So when you're not always going to be able to come up with something as like eye-catching as this, but there are really important things in your own life and how they relate to climate change. So just try to think about what's your really good climate story that you can share. And you want to think about your local angle as well. So keep your focus local, illustrating to readers how unchecked climate change is already having consequences. And you can highlight the local opportunities as well. So we don't want to have too much doom and gloom. We want to leave people with some optimism and hope. That's really important. And that's very important to us at CCL. That's part of our values. So you can talk about local impacts, but also talk about what your town or your state could gain from a really good, bold climate solution like carbon pricing. Like, what can they gain from that? And what does everyone have to gain in terms of health and clean air and a livable world? So just try to think about those things as well as local opportunities. And consider whether you're writing for a mostly conservative or liberal audience and tailor your message accordingly. Again, you're just thinking about your district, and you could even talk to your liaison in your chapter. They have a really good insight to what your member of Congress cares about. So you could just ask to get 5 minutes with them and just say, like, when you've been having your meetings, what sort of things are coming up and how should I mention that when I'm writing these op-eds, and what do you think is a good angle? And then you want to highlight the solution. So in order to avoid the worst consequences of climate change, we know we must reduce emissions with urgency. To reduce emissions with the speed needed, the US needs strong climate solutions such as a price on carbon. Now, right now, reconciliation is quite a partisan process. So you might say to me, Charlotte, I live in a really conservative area. If I talk about reconciliation or I talk about carbon pricing as part of reconciliation, I'm not going to get anything positive back from my member of Congress because they're conservative and they feel like they're left out of the process. But you can still write a really effective op-ed, sort of talking to them and pointing out that this is an everyone issue. We want conservatives to lead on climate change. We really hope that's going to happen in 2022. So you can still tailor what you write to your member of Congress and talk about solutions. And you could also choose to highlight perhaps another climate solution that CCL has used as a secondary ask in lobby meetings in the past. So maybe the Growing Climate Solutions Act or one of the other ones that's come up. Just have a think about what resonates with your member of Congress and what might resonate with people in your particular state or district. So anticipating reader questions. This is quite a good strategy when you're writing your op-ed. If you can think about what questions a reader might have, and you can factor that into your op-ed, then it creates a logical flow. So you might write, how can we price carbon without it being an economic burden on American families? Then you could make sure your piece focuses on the answer to your question. For example, American families can see economic benefits from a carbon price. Here's how. And then you would list all the things for your particular district or points that you think resonate with your member of Congress. And you want to make a clear call to action. So think of your op-ed as a megaphone for your community. What is the crucial message you wish to convey? You can resist the urge to say too much, just keep it very brief. So you might say, like, if you care about climate, join CCL, or contact your member of Congress and tell them that climate is your priority issue, or contact the president and tell him that climate is a priority issue. Or you could just simply put the CCL website, cclusa.org/action in there. And that will direct readers directly to our website where we know that we can encourage them to take actions on climate. So as you're thinking about your op-ed and when you're pretty much there with it, do a little test on yourself and think, can you write the headline? Because if you can write the headline, then you know that you're laser focused enough with your op-ed and that it does what it says on the box. It's the elevator pitch. You can describe it in a sentence. So here's some examples on the screen here of very concise op-eds that you know what they're about and they do the job that they intend to do. So just like think about that as you are writing your op-ed and deciding what your subject's going to be. So as you are finalizing your op-ed, there's some fine tuning you can do. And I've just tried to come up with a few things for you here. So be respectful, keep in mind CCL's values of non-partisanship, appreciation and respect. And you want to be inspirational and optimistic. It's fine to say that things are really serious, but just try to be uplifting too. Give readers hope and the solution. And be strategic, mention your member of Congress by name. We know when we do that, that it turns up on their desks because their staff are combing through the papers looking for mentions of their name. So when we mention them, then we know that we can get it on their desk. So they're going to see it. And be polished. You can fact check carefully and cite sources and stick to the required word count. And I really recommend getting someone else to proofread. Like, I'm a professional writer, but I make typos all the time. You just can't see your own typos. So it's really good to just have someone else just have a look through it, read through it, and then tell you if they think of a question that hasn't been answered or they spot something, and then you're just going to refine it. So we put together some ideas and examples for you. So this first one here, when that polar vortex happened last year, loads of our volunteers wrote about their experience of it. And this one, I just thought, like, painted such an image in my mind when I read it. This is a really good example of telling a personal story. So Jenna, she wrote about, like, her experience in Iowa. She said, here in Iowa, the deep freeze was especially hard for livestock on our farm. We had to feed our llamas high energy food to ensure that they made it through the night. Every morning we'd wake up and run to the barn to make sure they were okay. Then our water hydrant broke, so we carried buckets of water from the house to the barn in the dangerously cold temperatures. So I would want to read on. I don't know about you, but I would reading that. Like, that's, I think that's a really, really good visual description of, like, what life was like and what life could be like in the future if we're just dealing with this extreme weather all the time. So this next example is from a student, and she wrote this beautiful op-ed, and she wrote about basically what it felt like for her thinking about the future and about what we could lose. And she wrote, I feel the need to memorize my surroundings. So if I live to be a wise neighborly elder, I can tell fantastical stories. Once upon a time, when a nearby lake was safe enough to swim in, when little boys and girls could eat what they fished, when folks could drink straight out of the tap. So she just wrote this, like, this really moving and sad op-ed about being a young person worrying about climate change and looking at her little brother and worrying about her little brother too, who was, I think, 7. But, like, who could fail to be moved by that? I just think emotional stories really do resonate with people. So this next one comes from another student. This is actually a guy who's in my chapter in South Carolina. He's really motivated. He's working really hard at college, but he just feels like he can't delay on climate action. So he wrote all about, like, how even though he's at college, he's just started doing the work for climate action because he feels like time is running out. So he wrote, when I moved to Columbia for college in 2018, South Carolina's beaches, mountains, swamps, and forests were a breath of fresh air. I study environmental policy because I want to protect these unique places. As a student, it's exciting to learn skills that will help me fight for the environment of tomorrow, after graduation, after my first job, after I've established enough of a career to make an impact. But as I notch up classes and experience, it feels like time is running out. So he then went on to, like, talk about why he volunteers with CCL and to talk about carbon pricing and why he thinks it's a good solution. And then he just kind of rounded it up by saying, you know, one day I'll have kids and I hope to bring them back to the beauty spots that I love in South Carolina and for those to be intact. So the next tip is talking about local impacts. So this was just last week. Bill wrote this really powerful op-ed that was in North Carolina. And Bill just went about this thinking, like, how is climate change affecting my state? What are we going to lose? And what are the local impacts? And so he wrote this really great op-ed talking about North Carolina's Outer Banks. And he said, they're a beautiful natural wonder rich with history. Unfortunately, sea level rise caused by global warming is washing them away. Rising seas are taking away the land along with some important North Carolina history. And then he just sort of spent the rest of the op-ed talking about some of that history, like why it's so important. And then he pivoted to the solution. So again, like, this is something you could do in your state. Like, what are the natural beauty spots that are impacted? How can you relate that to people that this is to do with climate change? And we don't have to be on this course. We can do something about this. We don't have to accept this future. And then the next one is make a convincing case. So I'm an emotional person. I like to write about emotions. Some people don't. They're more like fact-based and they prefer to just, you know, give you the straight facts. So this is a really good example of a op-ed that just goes into like the problem we have, like the latest reports, and then like the real world impacts for Utah. So Justin wrote, the recently released 6th Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report said our Earth is now warmer than it's been in 125,000 years. What about Utah? The 2021 summer here was the hottest ever recorded. Our 20-year drought has left the Great Salt Lake water level at its lowest mark since measurements began in 1875. And the foul air that has wafted over from record wildfires in California has us breathing the worst air in the world. So I just think he just gets this absolutely spot on. Like, even if you don't believe in climate change and you read this, you would be like, whoa, we need to do something. Whatever this is, we need to solve it. So I thought this was a really good example. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is like, you might want to help someone else write an op-ed. You might want to collaborate with a Grasstop supporter. And this is something that happened in Michigan. Volunteers in Michigan had two CEOs from ski resorts who supported carbon pricing. So they worked with them to write this really good op-ed from them. And these CEOs wrote, in Michigan, ski resorts experience climate change impacts firsthand, which is why we advocate for transitioning to clean energy. Congress must do its part by passing meaningful climate policies matching the scale of the problem. So these community leaders, they have authority, and they are business leaders giving really good perspective about why climate change needs to be solved. So you can just think about like who are the endorsements that you've maybe got in your chapter? Like who do you talk to in the community that thinks climate change is a problem and supports like the policy that we support? It might be a farmer. It might be members of the local Trout Unlimited chapter. Just think about like those people and those trusted kind of messengers for your state and your town who you could work with to create a really great op-ed. So how do you submit an op-ed? Sometimes it can be a bit tricky finding out where to send it. Some papers seem to have a lot of detail about where to send a letter to the editor, but not necessarily where to submit an op-ed. So I would start by going to the opinion page and seeing if there are any instructions for submitting an op-ed. You could also go to the staff page and just look up the email for the opinion editor. They should be listed there. If that fails, I would just call the newspaper switchboard and ask them, like, who do I send an op-ed for consideration to? And when you do send your op-ed, include a headshot of yourself. I will just say, like, try to stick to the word count if you know what the word count is. On average, I'd say op-eds are about 600 to 750 words. So if you're kind of in that ballpark, then you're probably going to be okay. but you don't want to be like very short or much above like 750. And if it's not printed or you don't hear back, then it's perfectly fine to send a polite follow-up email asking if they're interested in publishing it. And if you don't hear back in a day or so, then I would just like accept that you're probably not going to hear back. They might say, yes, but I've got a backlog. It's going to take 3 weeks. They might say it's scheduled for tomorrow. So you can follow up. I would offer your op-ed to one newspaper at a time. It's just out of courtesy. I wouldn't send it to more than one at a time. Just maybe think strategically, like which paper has the highest like readership. You could start with that one. And then if that one doesn't take it, you could just keep moving from paper to paper, but keep trying. And if it doesn't go anywhere, then something I've done in the past is I've reworked it a few months later with a different like start, but I've like reworked it and then it got published. So you could always try that too. If you don't get a success first time, then just keep trying. And if you are printed, you want to like go big and share your success. So tell your group leader and email your chapter, let everyone know. You should log it in the action tracker so that we all see it here. You can share it on social media and ask your chapter to amplify it with shares and likes. So some chapters are really, really good at this. They actually send out emails with all the links in them and just say like, just click on this and it will take you to Twitter and like this. This tweet that we wrote about it or share it. So you just want to encourage everyone to try and get that that traffic for your social media, because we know that the algorithms of social media reward activity. So if you can get some activity going, then more people are going to see it. And tag your member of Congress too. Thank the paper. You could tag the newspaper editors, say thank you for printing this, it means a lot to me. And then loop in your district liaison as well so that they can send it to their staff contact in the office of your member of Congress. So then you know that they're going to see it in some form. And this is a picture here, actually. This is my co-lead in CCL Greenville, South Carolina. And he got an op-ed published. So people in pictures is great. So I made him hold it up and we took a picture and we put it on social media. So if you get printed, do a selfie.
Thank you so much, Charlotte, for being so thorough and precise with all of these recommendations and grounded examples. And if you'd like to find out more, you can easily engage in our forums, as well as email Charlotte generously is making herself available here for any local support. So we definitely look forward to hearing about the op-eds that come out of tonight. So please feel free to put any in the forums or let Charlotte know what those ultimate ideas were that she helped kind of get started with the actual interactions that we've had tonight. And in the meantime, we hope all of you have a really safe and empowered rest of your week and keep up the great work out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte.
To see you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.